Lesson 7. Outcomes. Describe ground cover fire attack. Ground cover fires. Ground cover or wildland fires can occur in vacant urban lots, parks, cemeteries, farmlands, and forests. Not only can they destroy hundreds of acres of natural resources, destroy houses and farm structures, and kill livestock and wild game, they place firefighters at risk. Ground cover fires include those in Figure 14.45. Weeds. Field crops. Forests. Grass. Brush. Similar vegetation. Because ground cover fires are unconfined, they differ from fires in burning buildings. The three main influences on ground cover fire behavior are fuel, weather, and topography. Weather is the most significant. Because local topography, fuel types, water availability, and predominant weather patterns vary from one region to another, the tools and techniques used to control ground cover fires also vary. Once a ground cover fire starts, burning can be rapid. For your survival, you must learn how ground cover fires behave in a variety of conditions and how temperature and humidity, winds, fuel types, and terrain features influence flame lengths and rate of fire spread, Figure 14.46. Situational awareness, ground cover fires. As mentioned in Chapter 1, Introduction to the Fire Service and Firefighter Safety, communicating observations when assigned a task is essential for safety. In addition to those observations, the following conditions specific to ground cover fires should be observed and communicated. Fuel characteristics. Fuel types such as grass, trees, or underbrush. Fuel moisture content, wet or dry. Arrangement of fuels and location of exposures. Topography. Location of the fire. Upward slope or downward slope. Terrain features, canyons, chutes. Weather. Visibility. Wind speed and direction. Relative humidity. Thunderstorm development or other weather events. Fire behavior. Location of the fire. Changes to spread and growth. Location of resources. Water supply. Personnel. Apparatus/equipment. Fire suppression. Types of ground cover fires. There are three basic types of ground cover fires based on the type and location of the fuel: ground fires, surface fires, and crown fires, Figure 14.47. Ground fire. Ground fires burn in the layer of dead organic matter, called humus, that generally covers the soil in forested areas. These are slow-moving, smoldering fires that can go undetected for months before they enter a flaming stage. Due to the composition of the fuel, these fires are generally limited to forests and are very difficult to extinguish. Surface fire. The surface or crawling fire is the most common type of ground cover fire, burning on the soil surface, consuming low-lying grass, shrubs, and other vegetation. Surface fires can occur anywhere and can be natural or human-caused. Crown fires. Crown or canopy fires are wind-driven, high-intensity fires that move through the treetops of heavily forested areas. Ground or surface fires are sometimes the causes of crown fires. These extensions occur when the fire spreads upward through ladder fuels such as small trees, fallen timber, and vines to reach the forest canopy. Ground cover fire behavior. Typically, two of the elements of the fire triangle, oxygen and fuel, are always present where ground cover is found. Adding a natural or human-made ignition source is the last remaining element needed to start a ground cover fire. Weather and topography also contribute to the intensity and spread of the fire. Ground cover fuels. Ground cover fuels are typically categorized based upon the location of the fuels as follows. Subsurface or ground fuels, roots, peat, and other partially decomposed organic matter that lie just under the ground. Surface fuels, needles, duff, twigs, grass, field crops, brush up to 6 feet, 2 meters, in height, downed limbs, logging slash, and small trees on or immediately adjacent to the surface of the ground. Aerial fuels, suspended and upright fuels, brush over 6 feet, 2m, leaves and needles on tree limbs, branches, hanging moss, physically separated from the ground surface, and sometimes from each other, to the extent that air can circulate freely between them and the ground. The following factors affect the burning characteristics of ground cover fuels. Fuel size, small or light fuels burn faster than heavier ones. Compactness, tightly compacted fuels burn slower than those that are loosely piled. Continuity, when fuels are close together, the fire spreads faster because of heat transfer. In patchy fuels, those growing in clumps, the rate of spread is less predictable than in continuous fuels. Volume, the amount of fuel present in a given area, its volume, influences the fire's intensity and the amount of water needed to achieve extinguishment. Fuel moisture content, fuels that contain less moisture ignite more easily and burn with greater intensity, amount of heat produced, than those with a higher moisture content. Weather. Some weather factors that influence ground cover fire behavior are the following. Wind fans the flames into greater intensity and supplies fresh air that speeds combustion and affects the rate and direction of fire spread. Very large-sized fires create their own winds and/or weather systems. Figure 14.48. Temperature, closely related to relative humidity, primarily affects the fuels as a result of long-term drying. Temperature differences. Wind usually moves from areas of high pressure and heat to areas of low pressure and cold. Large wildfires can sometimes create their own wind systems due to the increases in temperature difference. Relative humidity significantly affects dead fuels that only gain moisture from surrounding air rather than their root system. Precipitation largely determines the moisture content of live fuels. Dead fuels, those easily ignited, may dry quickly. Large, dead fuels retain this moisture longer and burn slower. Topography. Topography refers to the Earth's surface features. The steepness of a slope affects the rate and direction of a ground cover fire spread. Fires will usually spread faster uphill than downhill, and the steeper the slope, the faster the fire spreads. Figure 14.49. Other topographical factors influencing ground cover fire behavior include the following. Aspect, the compass direction a slope faces, aspect, determines the effects of solar heating. In North America, full southern exposures receive more of the sun's direct rays and therefore more heat. Ground cover fires typically burn faster on southern exposures. Local terrain features, features such as canyons, ridges, ravines, and even large rock outcroppings may alter air flow and cause turbulence or eddies, resulting in erratic fire behavior. Drainages, or other areas with wind flow restrictions. These steep ravines are terrain features that create turbulent updrafts, causing a chimney effect. Wind movement can be critical in chutes, narrow V-shaped ravines, and saddles, depression between two adjacent hilltops. Fires in these areas can spread at an extremely fast rate, even in the absence of winds, and are potentially very dangerous. Parts of a ground cover fire. The names used to identify the parts of a typical ground cover fire are shown in Figure 14.50. Every ground cover fire contains at least two or more of the following parts. Origin. The origin is the area where the fire started and the point from which it spreads. Head. The head is the part of a ground cover fire that spreads most rapidly. The head is usually found on the opposite side of the fire from the area of origin and in the direction toward which the wind is blowing. The head burns intensely and usually does the most damage. Usually, the key to controlling the fire is to control the head and prevent the formation of a new head. Finger. Fingers are long, narrow strips of fire extending from the main fire. They usually occur when the fire burns into an area that has light fuel and patches of heavy fuel. Light fuel burns faster than the heavy fuel, which gives the finger effect. When not controlled, these fingers can form new heads. Perimeter. The perimeter is the outer boundary, or the distance around the outside edge, of the burning or burned area. It will continue to grow until the fire is suppressed. Also commonly called the fire edge. Heel. The heel, or rear, of a ground cover fire is the side opposite the head. Because the heel usually burns downhill or against the wind, it burns slowly and quietly and is easier to control than the head. Flanks. The flanks are the sides of a ground cover fire, roughly parallel to the main direction of fire spread. The right and left flanks separate the head from the heel. It is from these flanks that fingers can form. A shift in wind direction can change a flank into a head. Spot fire, flying sparks or embers landing outside the main fire cause spot fires. Spot fires present a hazard to personnel and equipment working on the main fire because they could become trapped between the two fires. Spot fires must be extinguished quickly or they will form a new head and continue to grow in size. Islands, patches of unburned fuel inside the fire perimeter are called islands. Because they are unburned potential fuels for more fire, they must be patrolled frequently and checked for spot fires. Green, the area of unburned fuels next to the involved area is called the green. The green area of a ground cover fire should not be confused with the green zone often indicated at hazardous materials incidents or fire scenes. Green at ground cover fires is simply the opposite of the burned area, the black, and does not indicate that the area is safe. Black, the opposite of the green, the black is the area in which the fire has consumed or blackened the fuels. The black can be a relatively safe area during a fire but is often hot and smoky. Ground cover fire attack. The methods used to attack ground cover fires revolve around perimeter control. The control line may be established at the burning edge of the fire, next to it, or at a considerable distance away. The objective is to establish a control line that completely encircles the fire with all the fuel inside. Types of fire attack. The direct and indirect approaches are the two most basic methods for attacking ground cover fires. A direct attack is action taken directly against the flames at its edge or closely parallel to it. The indirect attack is used at varying distances from the advancing fire, figure 14.51. This method is generally used against fires that are too hot, too fast, or too big for a direct attack. As with any other type fire, size up must continue throughout a ground cover fire so that these adjustments can be made when required, NWCG, 2015. The steps for attacking a ground cover fire can be located in Skill Sheet 14-11. Either type of attack may also be referred to as either flank attacks or parallel attacks. Flank attacks are normally used for moderately intense fires and can be either direct or indirect. The attack begins at a secure anchor point, road, highway, body of water, previous burn, on one or both of the fire's flanks and works toward the head. A parallel attack is a form of indirect attack. A parallel attack involves creating a control line quickly using bulldozers or other heavy equipment. The control line can be constructed much closer to the fire than a line created with hand tools, and more quickly, figure 14.52. This attack sacrifices less territory to the fire as it burns and frees up firefighters to patrol the control line, NWCG, 2015. Fire lines. One of a firefighter's responsibilities according to NFPA 1001 is the construction of fire lines using hand tools. Fire lines are parts of control lines along which fuel and sometimes earth are removed to create a fire stop. Starting from an anchor point, a fire line is constructed some distance from the fire's edge and the unburned intervening fuel is allowed to self-extinguish. Creating the line involves using shovels, axes, power saws, and other hand tools to remove all surface and subsurface fuels, such as roots, along the assigned fire line. To make a line as effective as possible, the following must be done. Remove all vegetation and debris from the line. Clear the line down to mineral soil. Widen the line as directed in order to provide a sufficient fire break depending upon height of the vegetation. Throw all burned/charred material into the black. Scatter all cut and unburned fuels into the green. Remove all branches that hang over the line. When the fire line is being created close to the fire's edge, such as during a direct attack, firefighters may combine fire suppression with creation of the fire line. As the firefighters use shovels to create the fire line, they throw the dirt that they are removing onto the fire to cool and smother the fire, figure 14.53. Constructing a fire line is described in more detail in Skill Sheet 14-12. Ground cover fire safety principles and practices. The primary principle of ground cover fire safety is life safety, both for the civilian population and firefighters. The sections that follow describe some widely followed safety practices when combating ground cover fires. Lookouts, communications, escape routes, and safety zones, LCS. Applying situational awareness can be more effective if the concept of LCES is applied. LCES is a situational awareness technique that stands for the following, figure 14.54. Lookout. Escape routes. Communications. Safety zones. Developed for large-scale wildland fires, LCES can be used on any size ground cover fire. Lookouts monitor fire development and spread. Watch for rekindles within the burned area and keep the IC informed of these changes. Lookouts go to locations that can observe the fire without being in front of the fire. In some jurisdictions, airborne lookouts in helicopters, airplanes, or drones monitor the fire. Communications is an essential part of any ground cover operation. Lookouts, fire suppression crews, support personnel, and members of the command staff must keep the IC informed. The IC must be in communication with every unit or person at the incident. Rapid communication can prevent personnel from being trapped by changes in fire behavior and/or wind speed and direction. Units operating near the fire line must work from the burn side and always have an established escape route. An escape route is a marked path that leads to a safety zone and is short enough to allow personnel to safely travel to it. A change in wind direction can cause a fire to ignite unburned or partially burned materials behind fire line crews. A safety zone may be in the burned area if it is sufficiently cooled and accessible. Safety zones and escape routes ensure firefighters will not become trapped if fire behavior or fire spread direction changes.